Hey guys, welcome once again to the Warren Williams Coaching Podcast, or the Whole Being Series, as we like to call it. So today's guest, I'm really excited. I've been wanting to talk to this woman for a while. I've been observing her from a distance for probably about 6 to 8 months since she kind of fell onto my radar. And I'm always interested in people that are trying to elevate the consciousness of the planet, obviously, because that's one of my goals and, you know, one of my purposes. And, you know, it's been quite a while trying to get this lady in, because she's just so busy helping to raise the consciousness of the planet. And today's guest is a woman called Amber Valdez. Amber is an incredibly powerful woman. Now, when I say this, obviously, if you followed my podcast for a while, then, you know, I always try to get into really interesting, deep conversations with people. And I have to say, Amber's podcast with me is probably the most powerful podcast I've done thus far. Just to get so deep into so much information. And, you know, you'll hear a lot about Amber in this podcast. You know, we'll obviously share her background. But, you know, she, one of her goals is to, she's a light worker and a guide. And one of her goals is to raise the consciousness of the planet and be in personally kind of embedded in this ability to reach at least 144,000 souls and to awaken them to their potential. So this is an amazing podcast because we go through so many different things. We get into her background, so you'll learn more about where she came from, and you'll start to realize once again that creating wealth most of the time comes from pain, comes from some form of trauma that forces you to grow yourself. So we talk about her path into the wellness field, as I do with all my guests. We touch on the hero's journey. I ask her about the mass awakening that's happening right now in this world, in this 2020 era that we're in. We talk a lot about the ascension. That is so powerful, you know, talking about the ascension of the planet. You know, 2020 and what that means for the ascension of the planet, what it really means to kind of walk the path of the hero and the trauma, and how we can kind of get through trauma and transform that into something positive. We talk about what she thinks is happening in the world right now. She starts to get deep when it comes to what's actually happening in the vibration of the planet and the planet and its relation to the universe and 3D to 5D consciousness and what that means. We talk about spirituality. We talk about her views on the feminine energy that's coming into the planet, and the priestesses, the initiations, and all those sort of things. And we also get deeply into something that I know Amber's really passionate about, which is getting people that are in the wellness field to actually be paid for their skills. That is so key. Getting people in the wellness field to get paid for their skills, understanding their abundance mindset and what that means. There's like a 20-minute section where Amber just goes so strongly into that. It's like the information is just coming through her, and she's just breaking this down and why people have this poverty mindset and how we can kind of shift that. That is gold. So please get a chance to, you know, really listen to this podcast. And we go so deep, you know, we talk about her moving into the mountains and just, you know, just everything that's going on in the world. And if you want to know what's going on in the world and how to kind of circumvent that, how to kind of navigate and to be able to make money and survive and to be able to thrive in this world right now, this is the podcast that you need to listen to. I'm so honored and blessed to have had Amber Valdez join me on this podcast, and I'm sure you guys will get a lot out of it. So enjoy, guys, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome once again to the Whole Being series. I've got someone I've been admiring as a guest on my podcast. We have been challenged to get this podcast going, but as Amber said, third time's a charm. So I'm so, so thankful, honored and blessed to welcome the amazing, powerful, inspiring Amber Valdez to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. What a gift. I'm really excited.
Likewise.
It's going to be a juicy, juicy show.
Yeah, as always, every time I hear you, I'm like, whoa, this is just juicy. Every time you speak, it's kind of like juicy. So kind of I want to get into your story a little, because I'm kind of fascinated by it as well. One of the things I love to do when I do podcasts with people, like some people research people like crazy and they just know so much about them. I only like to know enough to have a conversation so I can actually be almost like going through the journey with you as well as my audience at the same time. So I kind of want to start with, you know, the first obvious question, which is kind of like how you got into this field, what your, because obviously everybody's always taken the hero's journey, and the hero's journey is whether or not someone listens to the journey and actually understands the lessons, as opposed to blaming life and pointing the finger at others. And then some people ride that journey, obviously, and know that it's a truth, even if it's a painful truth. As my teacher always says, you know, the pain teacher arrives in our lives to teach us a lesson, to upgrade our software.
Ooh, that's good. I love that.
So just kind of just touch on like how you kind of walked the path that brought you to where you are now.
Yeah. So thank you for asking. You know, I think it's all about sharing our past, you know, not from a space of it's who we are, but it's what got us to where we are. So I grew up in a pretty intense home, mental, emotional, physical abuse, financial abuse. So my mom has mental disorder. So, you know, at one minute, everything's fine. The next minute, she's throwing me out of the house in my bra and underwear in the snow and locking me out or kicking me out. Remember the first time I got kicked out was 4.
Wow.
So it was not a safe environment, let's just say. My father was an addict, you know, searching for love in all the wrong places. He ended up becoming sober 13 years before he died. But besides all that, my daddy was always like my hero, right? On my pedestal. I put him on a pedestal. So I was always looking for, you know, validation and dancing and like, you know, doing what I could do. And in high school, I became a cheerleader to put on the mask and pretend that everything was okay. You know, we were on food stamps, we were on welfare, I had free lunch, you know, and no one would know in high school because I worked at JCPenney's and I would spend my whole paycheck on my clothes and then I would return them. So I was working the system. So people didn't really know that we didn't have money because I just figured it out. And I remember just literally being so upset and being, there was so much drama at home, you know, like my mom was stealing my phones and grounding me and not letting me go to the library. And I'm 41. So we didn't have computers and stuff. Like you have to actually go to the library and open books to do your assignments. And so she would be grounding me and she would coming down to my high school and trying to kick me off the cheerleading squad every day and report me as a runaway. And then I'd be getting arrested at school for being a runaway. Like it was just chaos. So I got really comfortable with, if I have to do things on my, in order for shit to get done, I have to do it on my own. And so I've learned to not really have trust in anyone but myself and figure things out. And so getting out of high school, I ended up, the day I graduated, I left and got involved in electronic music festivals, throwing raves, dating drug dealers. Like all my friends were selling ecstasy at the parties and I'm carrying in ecstasy in my backpack for them. Like totally not at all on the path, right? But then I had this alter ego. I became an NFL cheerleader. So I'm like raving on the weekends and then like cheering on the football games on Sundays, right? So I had this like alter life. Like even though I would be hanging out with people who were owning their worth and like getting into trouble, I still was always like manifesting some pretty cool stuff for myself, working 5 jobs at a time. So I ended up making my way down to Seattle after almost being killed, down to LA after almost being killed by my boyfriend who, you know, was a drug addict, a drug dealer and very depressed and, you know, just not happy. I moved all over the country for a model management company, found my way in Los Angeles to explore my TV hosting dream, ended up manifesting a job doing the CBS sports, doing the sports alerts for the mobile devices at the television station, which turned into like doing red carpets. And through that whole time, I had a food addiction, an exercise addiction. My grandma passed away, ended up losing 15 pounds, just thinking that my worth was if I was a 00, you know, had to be like the girls on TV and I'd be, you know, not eat a carb for 2 years. Like I was a psycho about like what I looked like because I didn't love myself. And no matter how many sit-ups I did, I still never felt better. And remember how many people I interviewed, I ended up working for some high profile families, getting a spot on a show called Beverly Hills Nannies. It was a reality show with a bunch of Hollywood nannies, which was super toxic and dramatic. And through that experience, I realized I didn't want to be on TV anymore. I wanted to raise the consciousness of the planet. I didn't know how. I didn't know who would listen to me. I was just listening to Abraham Hicks and reading Louise Hay and pulling angel cards and really just starting to take a look around my life and going, I don't have anything common with these people. I don't want to go to the club. I don't want to go to the bar. Like I'm bored with life and there's got to be more. And I was, you know, experiencing angels and just really getting into like the law of attraction and just like having the spiritual awakening. But yet I felt like I had one foot in and then one foot in this like low vibrational Hollywood scene. And it wasn't until coming off that show, I ended up finding a partner who I thought was the one. Come to find out he was a sex addict. He was having sex with strangers of like women that worked in the fast food lines at the freaking local fast food place. So I'm heartbroken. I get the biggest callback of my life, which is like an interview at E, which is a big entertainment network. Had five rounds of callbacks and I was so broken. I remember there just wasn't enough makeup or hair to make me feel good about myself. My heart was gone. And I walked off the set. I had an out-of-body experience and I was like, I want to help people, not talk badly about them, talking bad about celebrities. You know, there's got to be more to this. Like, this is just bullshit. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, I was like, if I talk about Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus one more time, I'm going to lose it. Like, it doesn't matter. And I literally had an out-of-body experience and I, like, the lights, I turned in a deer in the headlights. They were calling my name, asking me for my line, and I just walked off. And my dream was dead. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is all I've ever wanted since I was a little girl. My dad was dead. I never really faced off with my dad. Had passed away a year before and I completely just like put it on a shelf and wouldn't feel. I just kept going on with life. And my dad was dead. My dream was dead. And my relationship was dead. I was like, I have nothing to live for, right? Like, who am I? I have no home. I have no love. I have no dream. And I was going to go home that night and take a bottle of NyQuil PM. And myself. And I ended up going on a hike with this woman who enrolled me into this emotional intelligence training that completely changed my life. And the only reason I went to this 5-day training was because I didn't want to be a burden to one of my castmates that I was staying with while my Airbnb was getting ready. And I just think about like, what a lack of low self-worth. I didn't want to be in the way. So I was like, well, I'll take this so I won't be in her space. And that training changed my life. I learned to love myself. I got clear on my purpose and my vision, which is to be the cheerleader for others that I never had. And I became the life purpose cheerleader who I retired that archetype January 1st, because even that felt very much from my wounding of creating this mask. I always have to smile. I have to always have to inspire people. And I just wanted to be able to show up for being me. I just wanted to get paid for being me, not putting on a show. And so it's been really empowering. So for the past 4 years, I've been creating online programs and worldwide workshops and retreats and one-on-one coaching and recently a mastermind where I'm supporting individuals that are here to make the planet a better place, that want to get paid for helping people, that want to be coaches or healers or light workers or medicine women or men, and those that have these dormant spiritual gifts and this desire to help humanity ascend, to support them in building a business. Because I built my business with zero marketing dollars, just me and live video, and through being vulnerable and honest and yelling on camera and crying on camera and sharing all of it, being very humble, I've been able to create going on a 7-figure business, which is just crazy to even think that, because someone who grew up on food stamps, you know, ended up having to go down to, you know, the government to get assisted to have an abortion, like literally didn't even have money. Like, I just think about going to the dollar store for groceries. And I think about stressing out about how I was going to afford $1,000 in rent and like, just can't even believe that I'm in the place I am now and I'm helping other people. Learn how to live their best damn life too and to love themselves. So it's been a really beautiful journey. And yeah, I'm just honored to be here. So I hope that was some context.
It's amazing. I mean, some of the stuff that you're saying, I was like, because when, you know, obviously when you talk about people that they create this facade, I always say that people have three, you know, they have a trinity. Everybody has a personal trinity within them. The person that they think they are, the person people see them as, and then the real you. And most people are always portraying the first two, but never the third, because they don't spend enough time to find themselves. And most people are too busy, you know this, you know. So many people are too busy to find themselves. They find ways, they find numbing agents. because they don't want to deal with the pain rather than actually face the truth of whatever life has sent them. And as we both know, it's the hero's journey and it's the soul contract that we've chosen, whether we like it or not. We've chosen that journey for a reason. And it's just about whether or not you understand and see it as the reason. So it's such a beautiful thing.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because something that's been coming really alive and you just reminded me of that is that I was such the fucking victim. Mm. Like, transparency, it was like, why did he cheat on me? Why is he this? Why did they fire me? Why can't I just get it figured out? Why am I living paycheck to paycheck? Why am I always broke? Like, there was no context of responsibility. Mm. It was my mom. Mm. It was my dad. It was my upbringing. It was society. It was every other reason except for myself.
Yeah.
And I just realized, like, remember being like, why is he doing this to me? Like, really, seriously, such a fucking victim. Mm. I realized that, like, when you don't have people around you showing you what responsibility is, of course your default system is going to be victim. My mom was such a victim. Mm. It was never her fault. It was always ours. Mm. She was a narcissistic. So there was no room for my emotions because she was always in breakdown. Mm. It was like drama to the T. So I mirrored that behavior.
Yeah,
I mirrored being broke. If I had a dollar for every time she said the words, we couldn't afford it. Mm. Right? And like, if I had a dollar for every, that's too expensive. I couldn't even order soda go out to eat, that kind of stuff, you know? And it's just like, that was imprinted into my brain.
Yeah.
It was like seeing a man struggles, my mom and dad fighting and violence and cops being called and all the things I saw, like, I just thought that was normal. Like, and not on a conscious level, but on a subconscious level, that I would be doing these looping of these relationships and staying with these guys 3-5 years long. And it's so toxic, but I just didn't love myself enough to see that there was something else available. And I didn't have any role models to show me what a healthy relationship looked like. This monkey do.
Yeah.
And that's why I have so much compassion for light workers and healers, because we have been programmed that, like, oh, if we're woo-woo, we're spiritual, if we're healers, we should do it for free.
Yeah.
Like, we should be helping, like this humble, smarter slave. And I think it comes from so many lifetimes of being burned at the stake and being witchers and wizards and druids and, you know, and being killed literally for our gifts, that, like, we almost have this, like, underlying dormant DNA of shame that's like, oh, well, we're weird or we're out there or that we're not accepted. So we might as well just, like, give away all of our magic for free. Mm. And that's something that I'm committed to being a big part of the global rewrite on, of the human experience, because healers and those committed to making this world a better place should be paid abundantly more than someone throwing a ball in a hoop. Bless you, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Let's get real here. Like,
yeah, I mean, I love what you said, because I think about, the condition, just kind of go back to what you were saying before about, those first few years of your life and modeling. And, you know, we understand that in the first 7 years of your life, the ego has no filtration pathway. So the child accepts everything as truth, and you imprint that, as you're saying, at a cellular level, you imprint this information as truth. Like, your truth is, well, we are broke. So I accept we are broke at a cellular level. And then most people don't deal with that as children. They bring that past into the present, and the present becomes the future. And then they fulfill that role. Even, like, I know people that are billionaires and they still work 60, 70 hours a week, still thinking that the poverty mindset of their parents. And they haven't learned to heal that inner part of themselves. So it's like what you said. It's so fascinating that people, you were going to say something yesterday.
I was just saying that abundance, we talk about this a lot. It's like that scarcity loop, no matter how much money you make, it's still a mindset, right? And I noticed it the other day. I'm going to show you, I have a Yoda doll, okay?
Yeah, I saw your baby Yoda.
And I was shopping for my little niece's birthday. And I was like, oh, I'm in the toy section. It's been forever since I bought toys. Mm. And I'm over here and I see this Yoda. For those of you that are watching on the video, I have this beautiful little Yoda, and I saw it and I picked it up and I was like, $30. I was like, that's ridiculous, right? I set it down. Now, mind you guys, I've just had a $400,000 month, okay, which is more money than I've ever made my whole life, okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, Spirit, the Divine. But just notice, the reason I'm giving you the context is not to brag, but to tell you, like, it's real. So I was like, $30. And in my head, my little girl says, makes me want to cry, like, I'm not worth that. It's too much. It's too expensive, right? So I put the Yoda doll back. Meanwhile, I have a cart full of things for Alea, from a birthday dress to light up shoes to like all the things, a unicorn, everything. But yet I didn't want to spend $30 on myself, right? So I put the Yoda back. And then I walk around the corner. I was like, no, I want that Yoda. So I go back. I put the Yoda back in the cart, right? And I'm just like, it's so irresponsible. You shouldn't be buying this. It's a toy or a grown-ass woman. Like what, like all this. I get to the checkout. I take the fucking Yoda out of the cart again. I put the fucking Yoda on the side. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get it. That's just, by the end of the time, I'm staring at the Yoda and I'm like, I'm just going to get the Yoda. But what the Yoda is a perfect example of the mindset and the programming of I'm not worth $30. And at some point, $30 was a lot of money. Right? And there's no way I would have gotten a present like that when I was little. And I can afford it. But my brain tells me I can't. My wounds tell me I'm not worthy of it. My wounds tell me it's too expensive. This has brought me so much joy. Like every time I come to my office, I smile. Like it's worth all of that and more. Yeah. Because I deserve a toy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's a symbol, isn't it? That's like a symbol. I remember I watched I've been doing martial arts my whole life, and so I'm massively into UFC stuff. And I remember maybe about 15 years ago, I was watching one of my favorite fighters, and he was just talking about when he won the belt. He said, the belt is a symbol of all of what I've done for the last 15 years to get here. So he goes, when I have that belt on my table, that is represents 15 years of work. And that's what that is. It's pretty much like a symbol that represents you, as you said, healing from that wound and not validating yourself enough by spending on yourself or anything that you feel that you desire.
Yeah, whether it's 3,000 or 300, you know what I mean? $300. It's like, it's so deep, guys. And I did it with crackers the other day. I won't go down that thing, but it was the same. Like $8 crackers. And I was like, you gotta eat.
Yeah,
I don't care how much money I'm making. I spent $8 on crackers, right? And I cut the crackers in. They're gluten-free and this, that, and baked and all things. And I was like, oh, are they made with gold? Like, are they like handmade? Like by little elves that are like going to make me? But it's just so interesting. It's real. This programming. So if we're doing this with Baby Yoda and crackers, think about what we're doing it with everything in our life, of what we feel worthy of, right? And the story we're making up about what we deserve or what we're worthy of or what's irresponsible. And it's just the subconscious brain is just constantly trying to keep you safe. And I'm air quoting you safe. And I think that's why when people say, well, it's just easier to mask it with the drugs and the alcohol, like not even knowing why I loved alcohol so much, not really even knowing why I loved ecstasy so much, right? Like that I was avoiding all the pain. And the love I didn't feel, like I wanted that serotonin, that frequency that everything felt fine with the lights and the music and the bass and everyone hugging each other. And, you know, just having this community of people that like, doesn't matter who you are, you're loved and you're worthy and everyone's going to just like dance with you. And it was just like, I'm home, you know, like everyone belongs. And it's just interesting that we do these things unconsciously to protect ourselves from feeling the pain, you know? No one's like, oh, I'm taking some whiskey to numb the pain right now. You know, like no one really consciously thinks that. They're just like, I want to drink.
And there's a beautiful quote that kind of encapsulates this when it comes to the path that we've chosen, whether, you know, it's a great path or if it's a hard path. And the quote is, the level of hardship you've come to face in life is the level of mastery you've come to attain. You know, you've come here to attain.
Wow. Who's that quote from?
You heard it from one of my teachers, Joe Gay.
Yeah, send it to me if you can remember.
And I, you know, I always say that to people, like, no, this is mastery. The pain, like, the more, you know, when you think about people like Tony Robbins and people like everyone like yourself, everyone that's doing something great has created it out of travesty, pain. Like, the greatest soul singers in the world have all, like, they always say their best albums when they broke up from someone. So it's like that pain, they've molded it into something great. So, as we're both saying, it's like, look at your pain, look at the choices and the reasons why you have it, the lessons that you're supposed to learn, and aspire to grow towards that.
Yeah, your pain becomes your purpose, it becomes your power. And I teach my students a lot about your mess being your message. And oftentimes the things that we're so scared to share with people publicly online or with our clients or the world are the things that not only will set us free, When we own that those are a part of our path, but not who we are, but got us to the person we are. But it also allows other people to see us as human to human. It allows us to relate. It allows us to have compassion. And Matt Kahn, and I quote this almost every podcast I've ever on, Matt Kahn speaks about victims or light workers in training. And light workers are earth angels in the physical form. And I feel like for so long I was a light worker in training. I was such a to everything. Why did he do this in my family and this and that? And as soon as I was like, all right, let's do the work to like free myself and to face off with that pain once and for all, it was like a whole world open up and I no longer had to prove my worth to my mother or worry about. I used to call back and my mom's never read my book. She's never donated one penny to my trips in Africa to build clean water wells. She's never listened to nothing, like no support whatsoever. Like they think I'm some crazy person. And I stopped trying to seek that validation, that acknowledgement, that atta girl or good job or I'm proud of you, you know. I stopped needing to try and get that from her and just get it from myself, get it from God, get it from my results, get it from my soul family, my clients, my students. And I think that we often run these loops because we don't know any better and we don't know that it's possible. So I think that's a part of the spiritual awakening process is the awareness that why am I doing this and how much longer do I want to keep feeling this way? And if you keep pointing around the world, like you got to look at yourself. And I was just such a victim.
I don't
believe it. Like,
And even when you look at the word responsibility, it's the ability to respond to life. But most people don't want to do that because they want something or someone to blame so they can justify why they're stuck.
Because it's so scary to feel. It's scary to feel. Like people are like, why do I want to talk about what happened to me in 5? I'm like, why? Because it's energetically on everything you do, everything you speak to, every relationship you're in, to the amount of money in your bank account, to how people see you and view you and how you show up in the world, to the guy in traffic, to the guy at the bank. It has everything to do with that moment in time that you captured, that you made up a story about yourself, you made up a story about the world, and you've been running your looping in your programming based upon said experience. And that's what don't realize is these imprints, these painful moments, whether it's the kid in school that laughed at you or, you know, the five, you know, you gave a rose to a girl at school and she disrespected you and like made you wrong, to being embarrassed for getting caught, like playing with your genitals with your family or, you know, by your family, like these moments in time, all of a sudden you make up a story of protection. Oh, I'm never going to let anybody see me that way again. I'm never going to be vulnerable because it feels this way. I'm never going to raise my hand in school because the teacher called me an idiot, right? I'm never going to go outside and play because the bullies beat me up. Like whatever it is, we create this self-defense mechanism. And then our whole life, we're viewing the world from X, a 1 + 1 = 2. And therefore there's a lion behind that rock and I will never walk down that block again because that lion's going to get me. And that's not true. But yet we create a whole world based upon said experience. And that's why emotional intelligence is such an imperative training and doing somatic work, because I have literally seen students and clients look 10 to 20 years younger after facing off what happened to them, from their sexual trauma to their physical abuse to whatever happened, them owning it, feeling it, speaking about it, sharing it. And then they're fucking off it. And next thing you know, they draw in their love life, the love of their life. Next thing you know, they make a bunch of money in their business. Next thing you know, they're walking with an additional pep in their step. They are radiating this frequency out into the world that has to match it. And I can look at someone and say, I can literally be like, yep, mom or dad, the way someone talks, the frequency of their voice, right? Their ability to look you in the eyes or not. I could never look people in the eyes for the longest time. I was like, wow, my eye contact is shit. And I didn't see it, and I can see it in other people now. Right? But I could never look at people in the eyes. I was like, wow, I am so scared of being seen because I'm so scared of being judged. And I was a cheerleader, for God's sakes. I was on stage saying, look at me, look at me. I was on camera on TV saying, look at me, prove my worth. But when it came to looking someone in the eye, forget it. It was so uncomfortable. I wanted to run.
I mean, so you bring up so many, you know, important points, and I hope people listen back to this as well, because, you know, so when I look at a lot of adults today, you know, it's like, for me, I don't know for you, but for me, it's almost like 90, I'll retract it. It's almost like I don't know anyone who hasn't gone through some form of childhood pain. I can't think of one person who says, you know, my childhood was amazing. Pretty much everyone I know has gone through some form of trauma, and they bring it into the present. So it's like you said, they haven't healed. And for me, it's like, as far from my point of view, I don't think counseling is very good, because what you're doing, you're speaking about the story and you're giving it power. The more you speak about it, it's like, yeah, it's a loop. It's like, oh, this thing happened to me. And you take yourself back to that point, but you haven't healed it. You're just bringing it up again. It becomes more powerful because you're bringing the past into the present. So like what you're saying about somatic work, you know, really feeling the body. And like you said, you know, about experience and feel, which is so powerful, because whenever we see something, it's like, I always say to people, there's a part of the brain called the HPA axis, which relates to how we see any form of trauma. So first of all, we see it. Then we react to it, and then thirdly, we internalize it, and it's the internalizing that creates pain, and then it affects us at a cellular level, but that cellular memory affects us at a chakra level, you know. So it's like those chakras then start to crystallize and formalize that pain, because you haven't dealt with it. You grow up, that chakra still hasn't healed, so a part of your psyche is still 5 years old and it hasn't moved on. And like you said, you identify with something, like if you got bullied by someone who wore gray. Every time you see a grey car or grey, some woman wearing grey, whatever, you would connect the story back to that colour, and you haven't healed and you bring it into the present. So it's so important, like you said, to go through that.
It's real. It's so real. And we can look at that when we just, something on a basic level is like, what is our relationship with money?
Yeah.
You know, what did our parents think about money? What did our parents think about money? Mm. Like, what did we believe about money? You know, and like, it's just, we are just little products of our environment.
Yeah.
You know, we're little sponges, little computers that are getting programmed by everything people say about us, what's acceptable, what's not. You know, I know that from being a Catholic when I was little.
Yeah.
You got to do this, you got to do that, you're going to go to hell, all the things. And then it completely just like skewed my world and being like, wait, what? You know, and at some point you start to question, like, it doesn't really feel good for me anymore. Right? Or why am I believing this? You know, we've just become these like little sponges that believe everything we're told, you know, and it's time to rewrite, like do an update on our phones, our computers.
I saw that one. I love that. Update that shit.
Yeah. You know, we wouldn't be running a program for our iPhone 5, you know, it'd be slow, it'd be glitchy, it'd be causing drama and problems and annoyance. We upgrade our phones. Why aren't we upgrading our belief systems back behind, you know, beyond past what our mother said or our great grandmother said that told my mom. You know, I'm going to share a story with you that's like really cool. So there's this story about this girl who is at Thanksgiving dinner, and she sees this turkey at her friend's house, and she's like, why is the front and the back of the turkey cut off? And the girl goes, well, I don't know. That's just how my mom does it. So they ask the mom, why do you cut the front back off of the turkey? She's like, I don't know. That's always what your grandma did. So they call the grandma. They're like, grandma, why did you do that? She's like, well, that's what my grandma used to do. And she's like, okay. So they call the grandma, grandma, why did you do that? She's like, well, my grandma did that because her oven was so small. So you're telling me three generations of women never asked.
Yeah.
Why we cut the front back of the turkey when they're making dinner? They just, well, that's what grandma does. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we do. Now here we are in 2000 and whatever. We don't have small ovens. We can have the whole turkey in there, but they're doing it because that's what they were taught, and they're not asking any questions. They're just creatures of habit. It's over going to happen with a turkey, guys. It's happening everywhere in our lives.
Yeah. The way you do, as I'm not saying that I love, which encapsulates this as well, is the way you do anything, is the way you do everything.
Right.
All right. So we could talk forever about that. Hopefully there's enough insight there for people to kind of grasp what we're talking about with conditioned beliefs, biases, and how that's programming us into the past and bringing it into the present. So I love this. And I love that analogy you gave, the iPhone 5. I watched that Instagram video you did about that. That was so cool. Such a really good example of, you know, upgrading your software.
Yeah. We got to start questioning everything. Well, is this working? If it's not, let's have a computer guy come in and recode it.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's recode our brains. Yeah. We're the smartest computer ever, you know?
Greatest computer in the world. So I'm going to kind of just change gears a little bit and just talk about I mean, this is kind of a deep subject, but, you know, just talk about the, because you touched on it a little bit, about the scarcity mindset. Like, what is it that, because obviously, you know, you're like I said to you off camera, you're, you know, I'm inspired by watching you because I can see in you that you're creating this abundance. And, you know, we've touched on a little bit about the scarcity mindset. For you, like, what is the, I mean, obviously we spoke about, it goes back to the parental programming stuff. What is it that stops people from kind of getting past that scarcity mindset?
The belief that what they have is all they'll ever have, right? So there's a couple layers to this. The first one is that with the savings account, right? So you guys have to understand, all of us, right? I don't know what age you are, but I'm 40. So my mom was a baby boomer, right? She grew up in the 50s. And then her mother experienced war, right? My mom experienced like Vietnam, right? But like my grandmother experienced World War. And during the World War, there was so much death. There was so much violence. There was famine. There was bombs. Europe was crazy. America was crazy. Germany, like it was just crazy. You know, our wars were very intense. And what that created was a climate where there wasn't enough food. Okay. Yeah. We haven't experienced that in our lifetime. And I pray that we won't, but I kind of think we will. And it's all good. Yeah. And we're always taken care of. And it's a part of the divine plan. And there was famine. Right. And I think that's something that most every culture can relate to. At some point, their grandmothers or great grandmothers experienced famine and experienced war. Now, what that creates is a deep level of survival, right? Like, I have to make money to create food. And there was a scarcity of jobs, especially when people came to America. And I'm talking about American history. You know, there was so many people trying to come for a better life in the land of the free and all the things. There was not a lot of jobs. Right. And then add the war to it. And then there was really not a lot of jobs. And then there's a lot of like dads dying, the men of the family dying. So the women had to like figure it out. So much scarcity of love, scarcity of safety, scarcity of food. So definitely scarcity of money. So that imprinted our great grandparents. Okay. And that imprint of scarcity has been passed down through our DNA. Because every single one of us were in our mother's or grandmother's womb. Speaking for women, our eggs were in there. Like our grandmother actually had the egg that I became in her womb, right? So all of that energy, all that imprinting is in all of our strands of our DNA, right? We look like our grandparents. We're definitely going to take on the personalities, the belief systems of our grandparents as well until we work against it. Mm. What I think we're going through is not only are we having to do a rewire of our DNA and our belief systems that were passed down through our genes, right? Because they grew up in a very scary time where there wasn't enough food to grow around. There wasn't enough money. There wasn't enough time to be like, what do you want for your dreams, right? It was like, get a job, hold it till the day you die because there's not a lot of jobs out there, right? And so there was already this scarcity that your happiness didn't matter. It was like, you got to make enough food for your whole family to eat, right? Mm. So there's that. Now, our grandparents, great-grandparents and grandparents programmed our parents.
Yeah.
Our parents are just going off the looping and the belief systems and the imprints of their parents. Go to college, get a good job, get a picket fence, find a good man or woman, get married, have kids, stay at that job till the end and get a pension and 401k. Mm. That's the safe thing to do.
Mm.
That was the safe thing to do in the 50s. And the 60s and the 70s, okay? Maybe 80s. Not really in 2020, all right? They didn't have computers. They didn't have technology. They didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have all these people who go to college and never use their degrees. Like, that was unheard of back then. It was like, oh, you go to school for an engineer, you're going to be an engineer, and you're going to be there till you retire, right? And now it's like there's so much more possibility. There's so much more opportunity. But yet we're still believing these belief systems of our grandmothers, our great grandmothers, and our parents, right? So nowadays, you don't have to go to college to get a job. Back then, that was unheard of. They wouldn't even let my mom be a flight attendant if she didn't go to college, right? So there was like, it was very specific. The world has changed. The times have changed. So the belief systems have changed. The scarcity belief system, guys, we're fighting with our ancestral DNA. We're also fighting from the climate of our parents' parents and our parents. And now we're in the system where we're like, wait a second, but mommy told me you got to look both ways when you cross the street. But now I'm seeing other people online creating something different. Now I have data that that's actually possible.
Yeah.
If you've grown like me, I didn't grow up in a family of entrepreneurs. Like I never in a million years thought that I could write my own business. I didn't go to college. I probably shouldn't have graduated. I'm not very good at spelling. Like there's just a lot of things that I didn't have evidence that that was possible for me. I saw a mom and a dad hustling, working their asses off at jobs they hated and barely getting by. So I just like, well, that's what you do. Until I started making friends with people who were making millions of dollars a year, who had online businesses, who had huge lives that would travel all the time. They started to inspire me to want more, to create more. And so the thing with the abundance mindset is what I find is people are like, I don't want to invest in that program, or I don't want to hire that coach. I can't afford it. If you say that, you're never going to be able to afford it. So at some point, you're going to have to do something different to get the different result. If you're broke right now, based upon your current model of making money, unless you introduce a new way of making money, you're going to keep not making money. Okay, like it's very obvious, but for some people, like, well, I have $4,000 in my bank account. If I give it to you, which is so odd, it's like, no, you're investing in yourself to get tools to have a better life. Let's get clear. Just like you go to college, name me, put a room of 10 college graduates, and I'll give you one that actually paid it in full because their parents were rich. Most everybody else is on government assistance, loans, or, you know, robbing what they need to do to make ends meet. But parents have no freaking problem marching their 17-year-old kid down to the bank to take out a $200,000 loan for college. But yet people freak out about a few thousand dollars to invest in a program that's going to help them love themselves, rewire what's possible, surround themselves by people who are creating more and want more so they can create the life they want. And that's what's so messed up with our society. And that's that programming. It's acceptable to go spend $100,000 on college for a piece of paper to tell you you're worthy, but it's not acceptable to go figure out why your life is the way it is and how. And so the scarcity model is intense. And I tell people often the fastest way to get out of scarcity is to invest more money than you've ever invested before. Open a credit card, open a 0% interest credit card, take out a loan, go ask for $400 from like 10 people, like do whatever it takes. Like your life depends on it because it does. The people that keep making the excuse, I can't afford it, will be the people who are broke in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s guaranteed. Because they're living this hope, wish, want, dream that their life's going to change based upon the programming they've had up until now. The programming they've had up until now is a direct result of their current life. The house they live in, the friends they're with, the money in their bank account, the people they're surrounded by is all based upon their belief systems and their programming and what they've learned. If you want to learn how to get a good life with great people, making a difference, making an impact, and making more money, you're going to need to get around the people that actually have had that. You're going to get trained by the people that want to see you win, that have had results. And I think what happens is we get so much advice from parents that don't have what we want. Why do we keep asking permission or directions from people that have never gone where we're going? You know, like, I'd like, well, I must ask my husband if I should invest in this program and he thinks it's irresponsible. Tell me about your husband's life. Oh, he works at a shitty job. He barely gets by. He's miserable. All he does is sit on the couch and watch TV on the weekends and fucking watch porn. Oh, cool. So you're going to take advice from your husband? Like, bless him. But like, it's up to you to be like, I want a different life. What's the roadmap? Because based on results, I don't have the roadmap. I think there's a point where you've got to be humble enough to be like, yo, my life's not working. And I remember this conversation with my ex-boyfriend. I was like, I'm going to hire this coach for $5,000. He's like, are you insane? You don't even have a job. I was like, I know. I was like, but I need help. Like, I can't keep living like this. I'm sick of having no money. I'm sick of the same shit. I'm spinning my wheels. Like, I'm sick of being broke. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And I wasn't doing anything wrong, guys. I just didn't love myself. I just didn't own my worth. I didn't have any education and tools around how to create a better life for myself because I was running my old operating system. Mm-hmm. And I was a good employee and I was a fun girl and I had great friends and celebrity friends and rich friends, all the things, but I wasn't owning my worth. And I think that I would spend, I would sell everything in my home. I would sell everything I owned, spend my very last dollar in making sure I got out of the life that I currently had. Mm. I went all in on the all in, as my boyfriend Jerry says. I went all in on the all in. I opened a 0% credit card. I lied about how much money I made. I lied about what was in my savings. I lied about having a job. I lied about how long I was at that house I was in. Thank you, American Express. Bless. And I got an $8,000 credit card. And that's the only reason why I'm talking to you right now, Warren, is because I was like, I need help. I also took a 5K loan out from my boy, who's a poker player, Nick Schulman, bless you, who gifted me 5K. And then I went to pay him back. He's like, no, Valdez, the fact that you even want to pay me back, you keep it. And I got $5,000 for him to be in an abundance circle that taught me about leadership, taught me about like a rotating economy, and helped me break through my wounds of trusting women and leadership and, mm-hmm. and abundance. And so I invite you to spend more money than you can, air quote, afford, more money than you think it's possible. I'm not telling you to go buy a Birkin bag or some Chanel and Prada shoes. I'm saying spend every last dollar getting out of the shitty job you have, out of the shitty relationship, out of the shitty life, because you're never going to get out of it without support. And it's that broken looping of insanity that's doing the same thing, expecting a different result, which I did up until year 36 of my life, guys, 35. Going to the same job, hanging out with the same friends, hope wishing and wanting, binge watching YouTubes, binge watching, pulling angel cards till the cows come home. And nothing was changing until I said, I need tools. I need training. I need to heal my past. I need to forgive my family. I need to like figure out why I've made all these choices. And it was like light bulb after light bulb went off. And so scarcity mindset comes from all those places. And it comes from the way you can break it is by doing whatever it takes to get the tools to get out of it. And you will. And oftentimes, I mean, my students right now have opened up SBE loans. They've cashed out their 401k retirement plans. They have wiped out their savings. They've borrowed money from family. Two of my students have moved home with their parents so they can take this mastermind because they're like, there's nothing more important than me serving this planet. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do whatever it takes, including living with my mom and one of the single moms I'm coaching in the UK, including making soup for me and my son, like whatever it takes so I can create a better life for him. This is my priority, like, and not spending money on all the things, you know, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm scared. I'm broke. Yeah. You probably go to Starbucks a lot and you probably spend a lot of money on bullshit and, you know, like cut your cable, read books, you know, fast, you know, go on, like do what you need to do. But like, that's what it takes. And as soon as my students do that, as soon as I did that, money comes, opportunities come. People are like, I can't believe I just got a $2,000 check in the mail. My car insurance says I've been overpaying for 2 years. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Because as soon as you make that up level, as soon as you make that ceiling, your floor be your new ceiling and you bust through that, like that's when you start to raise your consciousness into abundant mindset and you no longer identify with being broke. You no longer identify with that's a lot of money. So I remember 5K was a lot of money for me at one point. I remember paying 10K for a week-long mastermind. I was like shaking when I sent the money. Then I just invested 30K into a mastermind. I was like, I know it's going to come back to me because I know the law of attraction. What you put out comes back to you multiplied. Not only did it come back to me, I mean, 100, 400 times it's come back to me in less than 2 months. And so it's possible for all of us, but we have to play the game of abundance, the frequency. We have to. Spirit says you're infinitely abundant. You just got programmed and hypnotized your childhood up until now that you got to work hard for your money. Cause that's a fucking lie. And I heard that over and over in my house, right? You got to get a good job with benefits. You got to go to college to get a degree. You got to do, no, you don't, says who? Who are these people saying these things? Right? So we have to rewire. We have to surround ourselves by people that have what it is that we say we want. We have to invest more money than we can afford and we need to sacrifice. We need to stop being a slave. And so many of us are a slave to our jobs. We are a slave to our relationships and we're not consciously choosing them. They're choosing us. And that's the matrix mind construct that has had the human race hypnotized for centuries up until now, since the veil is lifted. I'm not going to get too woo out there with the star beings, but there was a contract, an agreement with the human race, and it just expired. Mm. And that's why the human race is waking up and going, wait a second, why am I going to this job? I hate this job, mm. right? I have an option. I can quit. Yeah, you've always been able to quit, but you've been in a trance. Mm. And the same thing with money mindset. Mm. My ex-boyfriend was like, this is irresponsible. And I was like, I'm doing it anyway. Same thing when I was like, I'm going to Africa. It's like, your business is blowing up. That's so irresponsible. You're going to be off grid for 3 weeks. And I was like, I'm going. Spirit's telling me I'm going to go bring water mm. to these kids. That's it. And it was not only the most magical time of my life, but I could have made the excuse that I didn't have the time, which is also that I didn't have the time and put my business and myself first and not like what Spirit was calling me to do. Plus I was dreaming about the children 3 days in a row. Mm. And so I was like, oh yeah, I'm being called back to Africa. And my boyfriend was like, you're so irresponsible. Da, 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 da. That's just so dumb. You haven't raised any money. How are you going to do this? And I was like, I'm supposed to leave for Africa in like less than 2 weeks. I haven't raised one penny. Like, how am I going to create all this money for my ticket last minute for the well, like all the things. And literally I made one phone call. My street artist friend, Retina, bless him, literally sent me $5,000 for my whole, like it paid for my fellowship fee. It paid for my flight and my food. And I was like, wow, like that in a blink of an eye when I just chose and I asked for mm-hmm. support. And so that's possible for all of us guys. Mm. We just have to start practicing abundance mindset instead of practicing scarcity, mm. right? How about not saying I can't afford it? And how about saying, how can I create it? Mm. If my life depended on it, I'll tell every mm. single one of you right now, if your life or your kids' life depended on you creating X amount of money for the program, tell me right now you wouldn't create it. You would do everything. Mm. You'd be doing everything for your kid. But would you do that for yourself? Mm. I know I could put all these parents in a room and I guarantee they would be like, I give my left arm. I give my shoes. I give everything. I give my bed. I'd sleep on the floor for 2 years to save my kid's life. They would do anything. Are you willing to go that far to fight for your dream? Mm. That's what's required for most of us. That's what's required for us light workers to go all in. And then Spirit goes, well, they want it and they're ready. And now I'll bring them the abundance that they say that they desire. But this is an initiation and this is a test. And it's about being like, I don't know what the future holds. I don't have a clue. I don't, but I'm going to trust the voices of my soul. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Goddess. I'm going to trust that I'm here for a bigger reason than just to flip flapjacks at freaking wherever. Like, I actually came here for a reason. I need to start going towards that and trusting that the same God that creates miracles every day is the same God that's going to take care of you if you're doing God's work. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this stuff, guys, because it's like your first initiation is to invest in yourself. Yeah. Your first initiation is to learn that you're worthy, because God's not going to give you all that money when you don't think you're worthy. What do you think is going to happen to you? Mm. The same thing happens to the people that freaking win the lottery.
Win the lottery, yeah. Yeah, man.
They don't feel they're worthy of it.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're not the container to hold it. Mm. You know, we all want this dream life, but nobody's willing to work for it. Mm. You know, and that purpose is your medicine, that mission, that journey, that pain. And it's learning to convert that pain and then paying it forward. And as soon as you can learn to pay everything that you've gone through forward, that's when you become blessed, because you're helping humanity through that in which you've already gone through.
Mm. Wow. There was so much in that. I was like, as you were talking, I was like, right, I want to talk about that. God, I remember so much. I should have took some notes.
Sorry,
I know you're in flow.
I just come in and I'm like, yo, guys, slow down. Like, I'm all over the place, but trusting
you're in flow. I love one of the things that you said. I mean, everything you said was cool. I love what you said just about this whole example of getting advice from people that haven't even done it, such as when you're talking about, you know, your boyfriend or your ex-boyfriend. How can you do that? It's like, it's such a good point. It's like when we talk, look at our parents and stuff, they've got a poverty mindset, but yet we're asking them for advice. I was like, man, that's such a good point. It's true, you're asking me for advice that haven't done it. How can you? It's how, you know, experience is the teacher. And it kind of brings to my next question, which is kind of like, you know, we now worship intellectualism more so than we worship experience. And one of my coaches, you know, he said that And we deify people that have PhDs, but when you look at PhD and you know you give it its proper acronym now, it's piled higher and deeper. You know, it's full of information, full of information, book sense, but no, as you know, as they say, common sense. And it's so important, like what you said, you know, experience is the teacher. One thing that, you had an example on one of your podcasts, one of your Instagrams. I can't remember the example. But I had a similar, I think your example was about dancing or something like that. I had a similar example coming from a martial art background. I always say, like, if you've read 1,000 books on martial arts, if you've never practiced, you're not a martial artist. And you said the same sort of
right?
thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Come on. Like, you can read a book on Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu, but get your ass in the ring and let's see what you're made of, right?
Yeah,
and
I love
that you said experience is the true teacher because so many people think they have to have this piece of paper. And I don't give a shit about your piece of paper. I want to know how many lives you changed. I want to know like what results you've created. Like, teach me what you know, you know, not what you've read or what
you know,
whatever. And that's the salsa. That's the salsa thing. Like, you can read a book on salsa, but until you actually start dancing salsa and get feedback from a coach, nope, go this way, go that way. Like, you, some of our greatest athletes of all time have like 17 coaches, you know, and Rich Lippen says coaches have coaches. Because not because they need them, because they want to go from good to great.
Yeah.
And that really truly is the definition of like a human that's committed to, I love how you say mastery.
Mm.
It's like, I didn't grow up with like a perfect model of a relationship.
Mm.
Don't think that at some point during my relationship, I'm going to get to hire a relationship coach, right? Or like, whether it's a sex coach or it's like a death doula, like my friend Ailua Arthur, she's a death doula. She helps families navigate as a member of their family is dying. Like, it's a lot. It is not easy.
Yeah.
You need a doula to come in and help you birth this child and bring it into the house, create the dynamic again, reframe what the house is going to look like so it doesn't cause breakdown in the relationship. Like, we've got to start looking to people that know instead of wasting our time and energy trying to do it on our own. It's like, it's a really a waste of time.
Mm.
And so I love that you are talking about the experience being the teacher, the truest teachers, because it's true.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want someone coaching me that's never gone through what I've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just think about if someone was going to go to Amazon and so they walk towards a shaman, would they say, which one of you shamans have a PhD? They're laughing and like, what's that? Who gives a shit? And I remember one of my friends, he said years ago, look, if you were dying in a forest and someone said, I know CPR, you wouldn't stop them and say, hey, let me see your certificate. You'd just say, save me. Who do you care? Can they help?
Yeah, that's right.
So I kind of want to, I don't want to burn you out. So I've just got a couple more questions I kind of want to just touch on. And just FYI, the people that follow me and listen to my content, they would be classed as woo-woo or whatever. So you can go as esoteric and spiritual. I talk about UFOs, aliens, dimensions, all that crap. Not crap, you know, all that stuff.
You should have told me that before, Warren.
Yeah, sorry.
Like, this great thing. What's cool, guys? Thank you for 5D, being.
All that stuff. So it's all
Stuff.
Right, so, okay. So I just want to kind of talk about I'm really looking at this question because it's flowing. So, tell me about the awakening. What, like, because obviously, like Lionsgate, everything that's happening now. Just give me your thoughts on the power of 2020, the end of the Mayan calendar. What, because you do hashtag ascension so much, and what is ascension for us? Why do we need it? And also, to tie in that, why are there so many females stepping up and just rising up right now at this time?
Oh, great question. Okay, ascension. The ascension is necessary for the human race to evolve. Okay, so as we were talking about that spell that was on the human race, the sheep, we were walking asleep and everyone seen the Matrix.
And they live.
So everyone is, not everyone, most of the human race is unlocking dormant DNA. Okay. And this dormant DNA strands that are unlocking the human race are causing the massive ascension symptoms that are happening right now with all this light coming to the planet, from the fatigue to the headaches to the ringing in the ears to the lower back pain and the Kundalini awakening. The human race is getting a massive upgrade. And we have to recalibrate to this system. So there are like 13 dimensions or something crazy, or maybe even more. Earth is basically holding back the galaxy from ascending. Like all the other planets are like, let's go Earth, right? Like we are still in 3D. We're the only planet in 3D. They're like, we're like the little kid that's like, come on, put on your shoes, let's go, right? So we're holding back the entire universe. And so we as a human race have to let all those people that are not committed to the awakening, that are not committed to growing and evolving into this next heart-based consciousness, the fifth dimension. So the third dimensional construct is logic, reason, right? It's all the old teachers that are like philosophy, blah, 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 like the guru mentality, right? That's very third dimensional. We have to get to the fifth dimensional, which is the heart, which is the heart-based frequency. Mm-hmm. Right, where it's unconditional love and telepathy and all needs met and everyone just living in harmony. But we can't get from third dimension, our head, to our heart without passing through our throat. Okay, so like going into the divine feminine awakening, the fourth dimension is activating our voices, speaking our truth in our family, speaking our truth to the government. Look what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. Standing up, the uprising. The Me Too movement, like this has been a huge activation. Black Lives Matter, like no, do not leave our brothers and sisters behind. Like everybody actually using the power of the word, the power of the voice, which is spells, right? Every word, every sound creates our reality. Mm-hmm. So many of us have had our fourth dimensional frequency, our throats shut off because of trauma, systematic oppression from the government, from fitting in, from the UK, like prim and proper, be polite, you know? Yeah. Same with Australia, don't be a fucking tall poppy, you know? Like America, let me just try to flash and pretend everything's okay when it's really not and I'm miserable, right? So let me buy more shit. So the ascension is a part of us ascending into this newer consciousness, this love-based frequency. And there's a series of initiations happening on the planet right now. And COVID is a pandemic. It's fucking bullshit. It's man-made. It's engineered. I'm sure all you guys know that. It is literally the darkness, the dark force, whatever you want to call it. I like to use Star Wars references, the light and the dark, right? So the darkness is knowing that the planet is ascending. It knows, the darkness knows that the galactic beings of light, the light beings, Asurians, the other beautiful star people that are helping Earth ascend and have been, the darkness knows that it has to suppress us because we're getting too close, right? Yeah. So that's why COVID 6 feet apart, they don't want people touching. They don't want human connection. They don't want looking you in the eyes. They don't want this heart-based consciousness that's starting to happen organically. Now it's trying to separate us, right? COVID quarantine has been a beautiful opportunity to go within, literally go inside, go inside your heart, right? And start to look at what's not working. Fuck, my marriage sucks. I'm with this guy 12 hours a day. I can't stand my husband. Yeah. Divorce, go, right? I don't want to go back to that job that I hate. I've been a slave to. It's not a dollar for every person that's like, yeah, I don't think if my job comes back, I'm going to go back. I'm like, thank God. But we had to pattern interrupt. So the ascension is a series of pattern interrupts for the human race to wake up, to own their sovereignty, to own their voice, to how can I not get programmed by the news and the government and when they start passing mandatory vaccines? Like, how can we uprise against this entity called the government that we've made our power? And how can the people take their voices back, take their sovereignty back, right? So all this stuff coming down the pipeline from the trauma that activated within all of us who have been black in our last lives, who have been slaves in our past lives, who have been Native Americans and murdered and slaughtered, because you know we've all been all the things. So all of our dormant wounds from our dormant past lives trauma came up, like we gotta go to war, right? So all of the woundings from our black brothers and sisters this lifetime were up on the surface, right? And then all of us that were black in past lifetimes, all of those wounds are back on the surface. And so now we're all like, rah! You know, we have to like let this fire out. We have to purge it. We have to be heard in order to ascend, because we can't get to rah, rah 5D with anger, jealousy, hate, resentment, guilt, victim consciousness. We can't get to 5D from those frequencies. So how do we get through it? We feel it so we can heal it.
Yeah.
Feel it all. We got to activate our warrior, and then we got to come back to center, back to love. You know, we've got to like feel all of it. so we can get to this next phase. And so the ascension is going to be a continuous amount of tests. There's going to be a lot of death. There's going to be a lot of war. There's going to be a lot of uprising. The fires are going to start again. There's going to be another wave, air quote, of this fucking COVID. There's word on the street that the president of the United States is going to get assassinated. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that's going to come down for people to freak the fuck out and realize that the government was never your dad anyway. The government was never your power anyway. You are a sovereign being. How do you want to live this life? How are you committing to the collective unity and oneness of this planet? How are you contributing to harmony or not? Are you going to be a sheep and get scared and go, yeah, give me the chip because I want to go to the grocery store and get food and give me the chip so I can travel and go to Costa Rica whenever I want? Are you going to be a sheep or are you going to say, nope, I'm going to go back to the ancient ways. I'm going to go back to community. I'm going to go back to living in tribe. I'm going to go back to living on the land. I'm going to go back to what our great grandparents, great ancestors knew how to do. Or the whole human race has gotten so far out of alignment. We're killing our freaking land. We're killing our people. Mm-hmm. We're poisoning our rivers, our waters. We are blowing it. Mm-hmm. We are literally destroying planet Earth. And so enough is enough. Mm. Enough is enough. And so Earth will have her vengeance, you know, and like every society has fallen from Atlantis to freaking beyond. We are getting too technology crazy and we are missing getting in harmony with the land. Mm. The ancestors didn't work 365. Mm. They had a freaking winter. Give me one person, you know, that takes the winter off, that creates a themselves. Mm-hmm. I created my first winter this year. It took 3 months off. It was so fucking hard.
Amazing.
Rebooted all my scarcity shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're starting to really realize what matters here, which is love, which is unity. And so that's the ascension. It's a process of a lot of light coming into our bodies to recalibrate, just like the going up in an airplane, your ears pop, you have to recalibrate to the new frequency. Just like when new data comes into your cell phone, you have to shut it down and recalibrate your phone for all that technology. That's what's happening to our little souls wrapped in these meat suits. We're like, what is happening? We're going up into these spaceships. We're going up into space and our little nervous systems are freaking the fuck out and it's okay. Right? But we have to be able to, we cannot intervene in a world we cannot see. And so much of us have been blind and so much of us has been letting shit slide. And so much like, oh fuck, pedophiles in Hollywood. Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Blood sucking going on, all the sex trafficking, everything, not my problem, right? Not my kid, not my problem. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, yes, it is your problem. You're a human being of this earth. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to face off with all the shadows that you don't want to look at within yourself? And as we face this within, it will be manifested without. And as the human race continues to be more truthful with themselves, we're going to see more truth revealed. And we're going to say, why are we letting these people in charge? Yeah. They don't have our best interest at heart. The 1% is running the show. Mm-hmm. It's about time for the light workers to create the most amount of money so we can make the most fucking change and say, yeah, you know what? Sit down. You're out of your office. We're going to take control. We're going to be sovereign beings. We're going to create sustainable land where everyone's fed. We're not going to live in mansions and let our brothers and sisters sleep under bridges. No, we're done with that. No. And so some people say this is a 27-year sprint. That the new earth is not going to come for 27 years. I'm grateful I'll be able to see it this lifetime. But the next 10 years are going to be chaos, guys. A lot of death. And here's the deal. A lot of old people are going to be dying. Why? Because they don't want to ascend. They're not willing to choose into this new level of consciousness. They are taking up frequency in chi on this planet. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful, but they got to go. Mm-hmm. They are holding this planet down by sitting in front of their television, stuffing their face with freaking food and being miserable. Their frequency is keeping the planet from ascending. We need everybody who is tapped in, tuned in, turned on. No offense. If you're not here for the ascension, get out. Mm-hmm. Please get off the planet because all you're doing is holding us back. And so that's why a lot of people are dying right now and they're going to continue to die. And there's going to be a lot of freaking suicides, guys, because people don't have tools. They don't have meditation. They don't have family. They don't have sadhana. They don't have breathwork practices. It is going to be a test. And those of you that are listening right now, you're light workers. Those of you that are listening are here to lead your families when they're in breakdown. Because we can know that we can survive without X, Y, and Z, but our family probably doesn't. They need the grocery store and they need their news and they need their house and they need all these things. And it's about us releasing attachment to it all. Releasing attachment to money, releasing attachment to being able to go to the mall, releasing attachment to the internet. What? How can you just release the attachment to all these things that we don't really need, but we think we need? That's another wave of the ascension. So it's constantly surrender, allowing, being present, coming back to love, right? And it's going to be a wild ride. And there's going to be waves and there's going to be valleys and it's going to go like this because, you know, COVID one was like all of us freaked out and lost our shit. And I think what's most important is that you stock up on a lot of dry goods, that you have at least 3 months, 3 to 4 months of dry goods in your house. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that, that if shit, when shit hits the fan, I'm not saying it's gonna happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it's gonna happen in a year or 2 years. I don't know. I'm not God, but you need to be able to take care of yourself and not have to go to the store or have to go and people tell you, like, you know, we've become so enabled by the system that we haven't learned to take care of ourselves. And so being a light worker is that, can I take care of myself and my family for at least 90 days? Go get a bunch of organic oats and olive oil, you know, so you've got, and salt, you know, and stock up on some water. And you can live on chicken broth, guys. You can live on stuff like that if you had to, right? And you just get to know that, like, it's not to scare you. It's to be prepared. It's that we've given all of our power away to everyone else. And it's time that we reclaim our power back. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm stocked up, mm-hmm. You know, I've got the oats, I've got the beans, I've got whatever. And I'm like, worst case scenario, we living on oats and beans and olive oil and it's all good until we tribe up and figure out what we're going to do, you know, but like, don't be the person that has to become a sheep because you don't have options.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't just be like, oh, well, that's thinking about the worst. No, prepare for the worst, intend for the best and prepare for the worst. That's consciousness. Mm. Not the food will always be there. There'll always be enough toilet paper. Look how crazy my country went. Like, there'll always be enough, not from a hoarding space, but from a, like, let me be honest. And I think that so many of us, we can spiritually bypass a lot. And it's like, guys, yes, we're spiritual beings, but we're living in 3D. This is the third dimensional planet. Okay. We're going to jump in and out of consciousness. Yes. And we got to play by the 3D worlds. We're in the matrix, dude. You can jump in and out of it, but like, we still in the matrix. So we need to learn how to navigate through the matrix and then like skirt out and then like navigate back in and just being like, well, then you don't have options, you know? Mm. So there's, I know your brains are probably hurting because mine is, but, the ascension is awesome. We're going back to what matters. All the layers are falling off. The bullshit is crumbling. The light workers always win. You know how Star Wars ends. We're gonna win. We always win, guys, but it's gonna be a rocky ass roller coaster. So your practices, your community, your prayer, your meditations, connecting with the land, getting your feet in the earth, drinking water, drinking high vibrational foods, surrounding yourself with people that get it, and not watching the news and buying the hype. And no matter what anybody says, me, Warren, whoever, check in with yourself, check in with your guides. That's your compass. Get so good that you can hear the whispers of your soul, your angels, and your guides. And you can discern when something feels off. You're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, become so clear with your antenna, like such a Jedi, that you can start to see when bullshit is what bullshit is. And there's a lot of bullshit. And don't get so caught up in all the conspiracy theory shit. I mean, look, it's conspiracy facts, most of it. But like, do what part you can do and use it as data and information for you to kind of discern. But don't get so consumed that it's going to confuse you, because that's a big part of like psychic attack and psyops, is to get you so consumed with trying to figure out what's going on that you're so avoiding what's really going on right here.
Yeah.
We know how the story ends. We win, period. So let's just do our part to use our skills, our support, our guidance, our love, our gifts to actually help humanity during this really crazy time. Because it's going to get really, really crazy.
Yeah. Man, a lot of the stuff you said, I was like, wow, it's news to me. I'm interested, man. Powerful stuff. I mean, So much there, man. Geez, like you said before we came on, this is going to be a powerful episode.
And real quick, Warren, if people want to go down the Ascension rabbit hole, I have an Ascension masterclass that people can find, and I can send you the link to it. What is the Ascension? And it supports you with health hacks, food hacks, energy hacks, spiritual tools and practices, as well as discerning what is the Ascension, what is not the Ascension, what's happening to us on a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and scientific level. It also breaks down the emotional Ascension symptoms as well as the physical Ascension symptoms. And it leaves everybody who watches it feeling like they're not alone, they're not crazy, and actually has them feel empowered about it. Because I remember when I first started ascending a few years ago, I was really scared. And nobody was ascending in my community at that point. I mean, I had the rashes, I had that like wouldn't go away for months. I had the ringing in the ears. I had the vertigo. Like I had all these things and I was thinking that I was like dying. And I find a lot of the light workers that reach out to me will go to the hospital and they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. And I'm like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. You're ascending. There's codes coming into your body. You're seeing the numbers all the time. You're getting activated. Like those are not angel numbers. Those are codes that are coming in through these numbers to remind you and to activate the dormant DNA within your body. So these spiritual gifts, this telepathy, this levels of intuition, this ability to connect to the angels or guides or whatever your energy work is, it's coding you. It's like dormant DNA that's firing. So the Ascension Masterclass is 2 hours. It's so supportive. I would like invite everybody to take it. It's like $22.22 US. It's a replay, but I mean, people were like, had 20 pages of notes. They were just,
where can people find that?
And go to my website, but, I'm going to go on there on Instagram and try to click Ascension Masterclass and see what the link is. It might be bit.ly/Ascension Class, but if they go to I Am Amber Valdez on Instagram and they go into You're Not Crazy, You're Ascending Masterclass, I'll drop the link for you, Warren, so you can put it in your, can put it in the show notes. And if they go to my website, ambervaldez.com, there'll be a button that they can touch too.
Okay, so it'll be a permanent part of Masterclass, so if someone in the week, it'll still be there.
Yeah, it's a replay.
Okay, cool.
I've already done it live. I posted it live a couple months ago, and now we're running the replay for everyone, so okay, people can feel empowered and not feel alone or crazy, because that's the biggest part. It's like, I'm going fucking crazy. Yeah. But you're not. You're ascending.
That was so powerful. I kind of want to just finish off with, you know, we've touched on it already, but we haven't actually. How can people contact you? And tell us, actually, before we go, tell us about your, just briefly, just tell us about your mastermind, you know, your 1 year mastermind and then your Lightworker Academy.
Thank you. So the Lightworker Academy is a safe space from lightworkers from all over the world to feel seen, to feel heard, to have a community where they can talk about anything from the Illuminati, to the aliens, to the Ascension, and not feel judged. It's for lightworkers who are new to their spiritual path or on their awakening journey or their Ascension journey. Every month we have masterclasses from guest experts teaching everything from womb wisdom to animal medicine to voice activations. We have crystal of the month education as well as essential oil of the month. These two really powerful, gifts from Mother Earth that you can use in your practice. We also have, a card pull every month, and then we do a moon ritual every month together on our Facebook group. And then every month I also do a masterclass where I have a Zoom call that you can be coached by me on anything. And oftentimes we have guest experts coming in. So this month, September is going to be Sexy September. We're going to talk about somatic sexuality with Julianne Vaccaro. We're going to have, this month, the women who wrote Wild Power, which is a beautiful book, a Hay House book about utilizing how to awaken your divine feminine through your moon cycle and using it as a powerful, like when to create, when to rest, like really learning to work with your moon, which I wish I would have known my whole life. They're going to be in. We also have next month in Sexy Sexy September, we're having Saad Simone come in. He's got a book coming out, Spiritual Sassy. He's going to come in and talk about like owning your spiritual stilettos and owning your sexy and spirituality. And we're going to have this expert come in and teach anal alchemy and talk about like how you can use, you know, anal practices to like activate. So I'm excited to like get into that taboo-esque stuff. That's a stretch for me too. No pun intended. So yeah, Lightworker Academy is only $33.33 a month. It's like a $1.11 a day. And it's an incredible community with heart-based lightworkers that don't want to feel alone and can talk about all these things and not be judged and crazy is our new normal. So that's Lightworker Academy. It's a Facebook membership group. It's monthly. And every month we're going to have more and more guest experts. This whole month's like womb wisdom and all the things. And the mastermind is a one-year container for spiritual-based entrepreneurs that are building their business or about to build their business and want to be surrounded by lightworkers on the same path. And the difference between my mastermind versus other business masterminds is that we dance between spirituality and deepening our spiritual practice and connection to the divine and our spiritual gifts, as well as building our business, because it really does take that melding of the two, especially for lightworkers, because we don't want to build our business from this old, archaic, unhealthy, masculine goals and like this really aggressive way. We need to be in flow with the divine, and we need to be in flow with the ancestors, and we need to listen to our guides. Like we don't do anything because they say we have to, we do it because it feels good. So I've been able to build my business in a very non-traditional way. And I'm committed to showing lightworkers they don't have to build their business with the funnels and the this and the that. They can just show up and be themselves and get clear on their messaging and anchor their vibration so those that need them can find them. So I'm really excited. We just kicked off. I'll be opening doors probably in like another month or so for another wave of lightworkers. But it's a year-long container, and it's the most cost-effective to like work with me. And we have two calls in 1 month, one everything business, one everything spiritual. We've got buddies and we've got master classes, and it's pretty awesome. The students are loving it. So much break, so much love, so much support happening. Lots of prayer and then they get one-on-ones with me, and they get healing sessions with my team of healers. So it's a pretty magical journey. So if you guys, you know, want to explore that, again, visit ambervaldez.com or go to I am Amber Valdez on Instagram, and you can just like stalk me and see all the offerings and reach out and DM me.
Cool, man. Yeah, this was explosive. It was worth the wait.
Yay.
Yeah, and your energy is always infectious, even though I know you're tired. You've been so fantastic.
I'm just getting used to being tired often, because that's just kind of like the ascension. So drink more water, we get rest, and I'm going to go get a womb healing right now by this beautiful Native American medicine woman who is a dear friend of mine, a former client. So I'm going to go do a womb healing and a yoni steam and take a bath, and it's going to be really healing for me because I've been outputting a lot of energy. Birth, every time we launch something, it's like we're birthing. So get to get a little R&R to my womb, and I'm going to fill my cup back up. So thank you so much, Warren, and honoring all of you. Thank you guys for doing the good work on yourself. It matters, and you matter, and your light matters. So thank you for showing up.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your time again, and for your energy, and for your wisdom and knowledge. So until next time, guys, stay healthy, happy, whole, and whole. Well, guys, hopefully you got a lot out of that podcast. I'm sure you did. There's so much nuggets in there, and now you can see why I was so passionate about kind of sharing this information with you, especially right now in 2020. It's so important to kind of get this information out there. And I just think you guys got a lot out of it, and I'm sure you did. And remember, you can reach out to Amber Valdez at ambervaldez.com, which is VALDEZ. So Valdez, ambervaldez.com. And she has her Lightworker Academy on Facebook, as well as her Lightworker Mastermind program, 1 year program. That's also there. So
And you can also, as she said, follow her on Instagram at I am Amber Valdez. So hopefully, you know, you, like I said, I'm sure you guys got a lot out of that. And my goal is to kind of bring more information like this to you guys. And it'd be really good for you, all of you guys that are listening to this stuff, to kind of share it with friends and family so we can help raise the consciousness of the planet. As they say, each one teach one. And the goal is to share the information to as many people as you can so we can win this war with consciousness and the elite that are really trying to kind of undermine us and censor us and stop us from speaking our truth and sharing the truth to the world. Because as I say, the way to know something is true is it's censored. So it's on us to be able to get this information, share it to as many people as possible, and to allow that, to give people choice. Because if you want to know the truth, you can't hide one side of the argument. You have to show both sides of the argument. And as someone else shared with me, testing solves all arguments. Test it and just see if it makes sense to you. Hopefully this resonated with you. And again, as you know, I'm doing my expansion mentorship program. My second round launched October 10/10/2020, which is a great number. So my second round of group coaching, teaching people about awareness, kind of getting past the story that they're telling themselves, owning their power and expanding their consciousness and raising their awareness and spirituality, as well as learning the mastery of money and the money mindset, as my 6-month mastery programs. And my next one will be launching January 2021. So if you want to seek that, then obviously just reach me at warrenwilliamscoaching.com/expansion. Anyway, guys, that's it for me. Until next time, stay healthy, happy, whole, in whole, be in health.